So, Dave Cable, you work at the Hartree Centre here in Daresbury. You don't normally run events for teachers, do you?
No, this is a first, yes.
So what made you want to put an event on for teachers?
Well, because we have an obligation to do public engagement and outreach, and I have personal interest in doing this, having been a STEM ambassador for a couple of years, I felt it would be a really good thing for us to do. We foresee massive advances in the kind of high-performance computing that we're involved in over the next 10 years, and what we don't see are the skilled resources coming up to meet the jobs that are going to be available. We are going to hit a problem with a skills gap in about 10 years' time. So really keen to get young people inspired and enthused about computational science and computer science, and this is one way to do it.
Now today, there's actually a mixture. The audience is not completely teachers. Mm-hmm. It's probably about half and half, something like that. Are you happy with that? Or?
I am for a pilot event, because what we're going to do, we'll get the feedback from this event and we'll sit down and figure out where we go next, what we need to do, what we could have done better today, and what we need to be aiming at in the future. And that may be taking this on the road and going around to different schools. It may be working with one or two schools locally on a kind of ongoing basis, or it may be just running the same event but with more people and more defined agenda, so that kind of thing.
When you had this event in mind, we kind of worked fairly closely to, and you were very explicit in your expectations from what you wanted from this event. How would you say it's been in terms of meeting those expectations so far from what you've seen?
I think it's gone a long way towards meeting those expectations. I think perhaps it would have been nice to have had more teachers available, and maybe we have some things to learn about publicising the event. But yeah, I think we've pretty much hit a lot of our targets, and what we really need to do now is to figure out what do we do next, and what lobbying do we need to do within the organisation to get funding for this kind of thing.
So if anybody was listening to this and they wanted to get in touch with you, what's the best way? Are you like on Twitter, or can they search for you online? Or
they certainly can. Yeah. There's a Twitter account at Hartree Centre.
And Hartree, like Douglas Hartree, is that right?
That's exactly right, yes.
Okay, so it's Hartree Centre,
all one word. Yeah, that's right. Or you could just email us at Hartree@stfc.ac.uk.
Well, Dave, thanks very much. Enjoy the rest of the day.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Now, change of setting. Who's in the room?
It's Vicky Dodd. That's at Vickyville on Twitter, VickyVille.
And it's still me, I'm afraid. Alan O'Donoghue at Techno Teacher, TEKNO.
Now, Vicky, yesterday I was at Daresbury. There's a computing centre over in Daresbury, and we ran an event for 16 people. About half of those were teachers, and it was all around how do you teach computer science with the Raspberry Pi.
Yeah.
And some of the people there that were STEM ambassadors, so they wanted to know if they were going to go into a school, what could they do with the Raspberry Pi?
Okay, and what can they do with the Raspberry Pi?
So what I would hope that they can do today now is they could develop a game using Scratch on the Raspberry Pi.
Okay.
Or they could use a game in Python that already exists and modify different things in the game to get different results. But you're looking at me like,
hang
on.
They don't need a Raspberry Pi to do that, exactly. So what else can they do with a Raspberry Pi?
So they asked me some other questions, which was like, well, yeah, we can do all this on a computer. Why do we need a Raspberry Pi? So we looked also at some examples of physical computing using the Raspberry Pi.
Yeah.
So I brought along my little berry clip. Have you seen the berry clip?
It's a berry clip.
It's a little small board. It costs about £6 with LEDs and stuff. And you've got red, amber and green LED. Stick it onto.
Why is it called a berry clip?
Raspberry. Berry.
Oh, berry clip. Yeah. Oh, you mean like a breadboard?
Yes. No, it's not. It's a PCB.
Oh, right,
it's been designed. And you solder components onto it.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. I also had my Pi Face with me, and I showed you my Pi
Face. Yeah, I have a Pi Face. I've not had my Pi Face out of the box yet. Aren't I a bad person?
Shame on
you.
I know, yes. And then, but we also looked at some of the other things, like we looked at the Raspberry Pi robot on Computing at School for £12. There's like a kit you can buy.
Yes, seen that.
Also, I don't know if you noticed that Jason Barnett, you know, who comes to the Preston Raspberry Jam?
Yeah.
Well, his robot now, he's got an article published in this month's Linux User Developer Magazine all about how you can
develop robots for the Raspberry Pi. So we looked at some of those things, and then we looked at something.
Did you know that Andrew Robinson's got a book coming out, I believe, about Raspberry Pi projects for education?
Yeah, I think he might have a couple of them. But
projects. Hello, okay. Andrew. I like Andrew.
Now, the other thing we looked at, which was Minecraft, the Pi edition.
Oh, did you? Now, what did you do?
Well, we didn't do a huge amount because I'm still learning myself. But we played Minecraft to begin with, and we showed about how you're in the create mode, you can wander around, but it gets a bit lonely after a bit. So then the version I had some of those some of the resources that Paul Smith had been using at our Raspberry Jam. So it had the snake game
where they're from Martin O'Hanlon.
They are.
And what's this website called?
Stuffaboutcode.com.
Stuffaboutcode.com. Martin's produced, yeah, all of those built-in games in Python that you can then run in Minecraft.
We also looked at the one that Martin O'Hanlon developed after Young Rewired State, which is the Twitter tweets into Minecraft.
Yeah.
Because what he's done is he's developed a character set that's represented using Minecraft blocks. Mm. So when you can then tell Python to listen out on a certain username or hashtag on Twitter, and when it receives a message that meets that criteria, it will then display the message in Minecraft.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. If you're on Minecraft all the time and you can have messages pop up like, Vicky, your tea's ready.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. And then another thing we looked at was there's a code for, which is awesome. It creates a building, a four-story building, all in one script. And it's got windows and floors and all of this, which is, if you were to do that actually with Minecraft blocks, it would take you forever, wouldn't it, moving around?
It can do, yeah, and you can just repeat, a loop that will do it all for you.
So the other thing we did after that then was, so we looked at Scratch, games development, Python programming, physical computing examples. There were some people as well from the centre that we were in. We were in the Hartree Centre who had their own little projects that they then sort of decided that was a time to reveal how they've got monitoring projects that they use in their own Raspberry Pi. And we started thinking, how could they maybe inspire children by showing them these projects? So we then spent the last hour of the day planning some events. So the teachers there were talking about how could they plan an event in their school where they'd invite these STEM ambassadors to come in and, you know, enthuse and excite
you. Like a pie day.
Yes.
Pie day.
Well, actually, what they're talking about now is when we have our big Raspberry Jamboree in 2014, the 1st and 2nd of March, that's the one where I want all the Raspberry Jams all over the world to collaborate and join up together. So they were talking about having an event round about the same time. So that was yesterday, really. But it's Friday today.
It's Friday, everyone. It really is Friday.
So what have you been doing with your GCSE computing classes? Well, what have you been learning?
I've got year 10, obviously, now here. And this week, we were looking at data types initially on Monday. Now, you might think, why haven't you done data types already? Well, we have. We've been using strings and integers, and we've also looked at different operators, mathematical and comparison. But what I wanted to do was make sure that they understood the definition of the different data types, the usage of them as well. I also introduced floats, which we hadn't done before. They'd also, some of them had kind of noticed that there was obviously another data type because of how Python uses integers if they've done a division question.
Sure, that's right, yes.
So we looked at that. We looked at obviously typecasting as well of data types into strings, integers into strings, converting strings into integers as well.
Have you done the concept of real numbers with them?
Yeah, that's what we were doing on Monday, concept of real numbers and what real numbers are. And from that, I moved then into string handling. So we were looking specifically at how to the different string handling methods in Python.
That's really useful, isn't it? If you've got, if you say to somebody, for example, do you want to play this game again? And they type in yes in capital letters or in lowercase, or if they type in yes, I think so. Mm-hmm. You can get it, can't you, to just look for certain key
Well, what we were doing is we actually had a work... Well, I developed a worksheet because obviously Tuesday's lesson was quite... It was interrupted due to vaccinations. Obviously, all horrible teenagers have to have horrible vaccinations to make them better people. And what we were doing is they were working the way through a worksheet with different string handling methods. So we were looking at concatenation.
Yes.
And then also we looked at searching strings. We looked at 14K, so using .upper, .title, .lower.
By the way, it was you who taught me that. I didn't know that till you showed me.
They also did reversing a string as well, so making it back to front.
That could be a game, couldn't it? Where you'd have a number of words in a list.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you could take some words from somebody in a list. Mm-hmm. And then what you could do is you could then randomly, you could use random choice to choose a word from the list, but display the word in reverse and maybe even give them a certain amount of time where they would have to tell you what the word was. And then it would that's got me thinking.
So we did that, and we also did counting the length of a string. So, yes, you know, and also printing the type, a data type. That was originally, we did that as well on Monday. So we got how they could check the type, data type, so print type of a variable.
I was talking to Darren Travi, who was doing something like this. So he's a computing at school master teacher down in High Wycombe.
Yeah.
And he was saying he'd been doing some training with teachers where they were looking at how you could type into a car registration, mm-hmm. and then a Python script would then detect whether that was a valid car registration.
Yeah. Well, this is a very similar thing, because then what we moved on to is their challenge task, because I had them as well on Wednesday, so I had three lessons with them this week, although one was disrupted, where I gave them some code that checked the value of a string, to check the content of a string. So is in digit, for example, is alpha, is al num,
right.
So is it alphanumeric, is it alpha, does it contain a digital, does it contain upper, does it contain lowercase letters, does it contain symbols? From that, after they practiced that, so they had to input their name, I asked them to input different strings, and it checked, it returns a Boolean value of true or false. And from that, they had to then work out, okay, we've done selection with if and else, how could we then use this of checking the content of a string to do a password checker program? So is the password valid?
And it could be an email address, type in an email address.
Well, there's this is the thing, you see, there's obviously a controlled assessment that does exactly that. So what they had to do was check if a password that had been entered, so using a user input, password equals input, please enter your password. And from that, they had to check whether it had a minimum of 6 characters, contained, it was alphanumeric, so it contained at least one digit, and also contained one capital letter.
Oh, wow.
And then if it didn't, it had to return reject. And the majority of the class were able to do it. I was really stunned.
Did you know what's even more stunning than that is...
Yeah.
5-6 weeks ago, when we when we first started, you were saying about how you were finding it frustrating that some of those children had no previous programming experiences whatsoever.
Yeah.
And now they're able to.
What I've found is that some of them, if I give them the code and then ask them to understand it and interpret it, which is what the worksheet was based around, they were answering questions about the outputs that the code produced. And then their ability to be able to take that code away and then use it for a different purpose. And some of them do really well, and that's all they need. I can use that. Others, they obviously need more support, but because the ones that don't necessarily need the support have got the foundation and they know what they're doing, they're fine. And I can concentrate on the ones that do.
I found that can be highly motivational, that if you've given them something that is already complete, but
asking them to either use it in a different way or change it and adapt it for their own.
And myself, when I've done things like that, sometimes then a lesson or two later, I'll show them that original example, but I will have then subverted it in some way. I've either put mistakes in or make it do something that's either semantically, logically wrong, but get them in pairs to try and solve that.
So anyway, to be honest, I was really pleased with them this week. And I also used Socrative to do kind of a very quick assessment about what they remember in Python, with questions in what is a variable, what do these operators do, everything we've kind of covered so far. Some obviously need some recap. But it was really good. I enjoyed this week.
Wow, you're making me feel very, very jealous now. Now, I had a problem that I came up with a solution. Actually, the solution's not so much of a revolution.
Uh-huh.
But when the children are sitting in the controlled assessment, so you know mine are doing the investigation assignment at the moment, because they keep going, oh, little man computer. So they're doing the investigation assignment for 452, the OCR GCSE. And the thing that I've always struggled with is we cannot give children feedback. We can't say to them, oh, Vicky, that's really good. You're going to get 10 marks out of 15 on that section there. And of course, I would never suggest that anybody does that. But it was How can I assess progress? And we're at this point, you know, this week where I need to be giving them some formal written feedback based on what they've been doing in class. So I came up with an alternative, which was, I thought, well, we could do a little test in class where there are questions that kind of related to the context.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm just wondering if you wouldn't mind volunteering or being a victim.
I'll be a victim. I'm already a victim.
So this is the kind of thing I've done in class. So I actually set them 6 questions and they have to write the answers to these in the books. Now,
they
are not directly related to the tasks that they're doing, but there are some connections. So, like, for example, the first task was, I said, right, the little man computer simulation that we're using at the moment has one box labelled input and one box used output, labelled output. What do you think that these boxes are used for? Come on, a bit of tension.
Okay.
One's labelled input, one's labelled output. What do you think that they're used for?
One for receiving input from the outside world, one for producing an output.
That's not bad.
Okay, go on.
What kind of input? What would be a better word? So rather than, because you've used the word input, it could be a value. Because I said, what's the input? And you said it receives input.
Mm-hmm.
Could you use a different word? Like, what are computers really good at using? What do they store on computers? Begins with D.
Data.
That would be a really good answer.
So for inputting data.
Or what would the output be used for?
Information is my automatic response there.
Or sharing data with the outside world. Yeah. Okay, let's try another one. So question 2 was, okay, class, explain the difference between an opcode and a mnemonic. Now, you've not done any of these little man computers.
No, I haven't done any little man computer. I'm avoiding it. We discussed that in the last podcast. I'm avoiding it like the plague.
Come on, give me a stab a guess.
Opcode and operational command.
Yeah. Why do you think the word code is in there? Opcode.
Because it's probably shortened.
And how would it be represented, do you think? Using letters and numbers?
Probably by the mnemonic.
So the opcode... Okay, I'll give you a little bit more of a clue. So the opcode... Is this really tough?
Do you like print? PRT.
That's a mnemonic. Okay, yeah. So PRT could be a mnemonic for print.
Okay.
So what would the opcode be then for print? This is tough, isn't it?
I don't know. What would the opcode be for print?
Okay, I'll give you a clue. It's not letters.
It's a number then?
It's a number.
So the opcode's numbers, the mnemonics are actually the meaning of
the
numbers.
So the mnemonic...
So that's the difference.
That's the difference. The mnemonic is like a shortened version in letters.
Yeah, that represents, so like PRT for print.
Correct, yeah. And then you could have like a number 8
INP
could represent.
INP for import and things
yes,
like that.
Yes,
yeah, okay.
Exactly.
So that's the mnemonic, but then each mnemonic has an opcode representation.
Because how do computers store information? They store it as numbers.
Yeah.
Okay, so they can't really store an instruction using letters.
So they don't store it using the mnemonic. The mnemonic is just there to make it easier to understand. So they're actually storing it only using the opcodes. So it's a series of numbers.
Exactly.
Right, okay.
You've See, you've got it now.
Yeah, I've got it
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm trying to coach you and help you with the answer. Now, I'll skip out question 3 because question 3's got a lot of code in it. You have to explain. But question 4 was something like, now, when we use this little man computer and you write a program, it stores the commands, or mnemonics, as opcodes.
Mm-hmm.
But when it stores the data, it stores it separately from the commands.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think it would store the data separately? So it's going to store data as numbers separately from the commands. Why do you think it would do that?
So it doesn't get them confused.
Ah, so what might happen?
So it would try and interpret the data as a command.
You're really good at this.
Okay. Yeah. If they're both types of numbers,
if
they're storing both as numbers, then how does it tell the difference unless they're stored in different locations?
Because if you say, choosing between 1 and 10, and you say 8, and you say, hang on, 8 means print.
Yeah.
So by storing them separately from that. So you're not doing too badly at this.
It's not too bad at all. Could be better.
that was kind of the context of how the questions were.
Okay.
I hope it doesn't depress you to think some of the pupils did better than you did in
the
test.
No, not at all. I would hope so. I would hope they did, really. Yeah. They've had lessons on it from
you. That's right. Yeah,
I haven't.
So that was how I'm able to now assess their level of understanding without actually giving them any feedback. You don't think that's malpractice, do you?
Well, no.
No, because I'm assessing
their level of understanding using your own questions, not based on the controlled assessments and telling them how to improve their controlled assessments. That's not malpractice.
So that's what I've been doing with my class this week. And then we had another one of our lessons where I go through and check their understanding of the homeworks. But I'm not going to bore you with all the details of that.
Just because I've just yawned.
yeah. So, hey, it's nearly half term.
I know, it's very nearly half term. In fact, half term's tomorrow, everybody, because today is Friday.
That's right. And I'm really excited because the day after tomorrow is Saturday.
And you're going to...
I'm going down to London. To the Mozilla Festival.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to it. Last year, I didn't go, and I kind of wondered whether I should have done, and then I was reading all the tweets and blogs and all the videos, and I was like, I should have gone.
So how long are you in London for, then?
So I'm there for 3 days. So the Mozilla Festival is on the Saturday and the Sunday, and it's just one of the most amazing experiences. You really need to come next year. So it's all about keeping the web free. It's about how do we recognise people's contributions through things like open badges. Mm. It's about inspiring the digital creatives of tomorrow, which is like... ticks all my boxes, and we're in the Ravensbourne Art Facility, which is right next door to the O2.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, every time I mention Mozilla Fest, I'm just getting so excited about it. And there was actually an offer where teachers could go for free, but they've sold out of all the tickets now. They got 1,400 people go in.
Good, great. Yeah. That's amazing.
It is. So that's where I'm going to be, and then. We might skip an episode of the podcast because when we come back after half term, I'm going
go
off
on,
to...
do some boasting now.
I'm going to Dubai for 4 days.
Dubai.
Well, 5 days.
Oh, my word, people. Imagine. You're going to have to wear your shorts.
I know. Flowery shirts.
Flowery shirts and shorts in Dubai.
And we're going over there. We're going to be at the DESC, which is the Dubai English Speaking College. We're having a raspberry jam. We're having CPD for teachers, all about programming, Scratch, Google, WebMaker resources, from all of those kind of things. And Ian Livingstone's coming as well.
Oh, wow. Can you just see if there's any job opportunities for me in Dubai, please, while you're there?
I might do.
So, just if anybody's got any vacancies, for example.
Well, don't forget, you've got your Dragonfly courses to do, you know?
Yes, I have. I've got a lot coming up. Dragonfly courses in Kodu. And I forget what else. Yeah. There's a number coming up in Birmingham and London over the next few months.
And
you've got your Teach Computing.
That's right, with the introduction
to
computer science.
Teach Scratch from Scratch.
Yeah, Teach Scratch from Scratch, how to start teaching Python. But I'm also developing at the moment some GCSE courses. So it's about, like, for example, my head teacher's told me I have to teach GCSE computer next year and I don't know where to start. So we're going to do a course to help prepare people for that. But there's a lot of teachers out there who are already teaching GCSE computing, but there's a couple of things that are causing them problems, like the programming and how you assess the investigation assignment. And so I'll be doing a course to help them. It's kind of like how to achieve success at GCSE.
Okay.
So that's it. Should we wrap this up for the half term? Anything that you think is worth mentioning before we...
Oh, I've got an event on Monday, said Jill.
Oh, yes. That's on the 28th of October.
Yeah. I don't know what they've called it, actually.
It's something around computer science.
It's all to do with computer science. We've got a number of teachers going. There's myself.
Dawn Hewitson, I guess.
Will be there. David Ames will be there. Dave Ames.
He's the Northwest Regional Coordinator for CAS.
Yeah, he's doing teachers, advanced Python. I think I'm doing Python Basics. Ben Smith will be doing something amazing with Minecraft or Blend, yeah. I'm not sure which.
Or quadcopters or 3D printers.
They'll be there. Yeah, yeah. And then we've also got Carl Simmons doing App Inventor, but I do believe we've also got Martin O'Hanlon coming to do
Stuff about code, but
Minecraft on the Pi, programming Minecraft through Python on the Pi.
All these people you've mentioned, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure are all coming to the Jamboree in Manchester, which we're going to have 27th of February, 28th of February, 1st of March and 2nd of March. And on the 1st of March, we're going to have a great big raspberry jam at Edge Hill College.
Yeah.
Edge Hill University,
not Edge Hill College. And what else have we got coming up then? There's Hack the Curriculum on the 9th of November.
That's right. I'll be in Dubai on that day.
I won't be in Dubai. I'm into just sunny Coventry. Yeah. But I will have a much better time because I'll be with the likes of Carrie-Anne Philbin. Who else?
Is Laura going?
Nick Tolovey, Laura at Koboom, yeah. Dawn Hewitson will be there again.
Just like the regular crew.
It is. Ben Smith will be there again. Yeah. Who else is going?
Martin O'Hanlon.
No, we tried to persuade Martin to come. He can't make it. But there's lots of people going there. Teachers' tickets have sold out for that, actually.
It looks
but
like
we do
really
need developers. We need some developers to come along.
I think if you just search online, Hack the Curriculum, 9th of November, you'll be able to find it. It's on Eventbrite.
Yeah. But we need developers.
So before we go and say goodbye, there's lots of things you can find out that we've mentioned just by searching online, like stuffaboutcode.com. If you're not a member of Computing at School, you really, really ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
Computing at School. There's
There's 6,500 members now.
Yeah.
Thousands of resources on there and discussions.
I'll upload my string handling resources that I've discussed, the worksheet on that, to get the students thinking about how to the different string handling methods, and also the password challenge that I set as well.
So thank you for listening to our podcast. We hope you're getting some value out of it. If there's certain things, topics you want us to discuss.
Yeah, if you've got any questions.
Yeah.
Questions on a postcard, please. Yeah. How about that?
To at Vickyville, VickyVille.
Oh, yeah, on the 11th of November as well, we've also got a CAS Hub meeting launch in Salford.
That's right.
As well, yeah. And some training events with the primaries. So if you're anywhere around Salford and you've not been to a CAS Hub meeting, check on Eventbrite out on the CAS website.
We've got all the Wirral ones and the Preston ones as well. Yeah, they're all on the events.
Okay.
So it's time to say goodbye.
It is time to say goodbye.
Well, we wish you all a happy half-term holiday.
Some
people have been on half-term this week already. Shocking.
Some people have got 2 weeks for half-term.
Oh, these people who work in private schools, they've got a cushy life.
But not just that, no, because there are some schools who've changed their holiday patterns as well. So there are now people who have 2 weeks for half-term.
Okay. Goodbye.
Bye.